And now Lily is going to come and do the reading for us, which is from Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 25.
Our reading comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 to 31, and then chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any wholesome, unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God.
I'm not sure how I can speak after that, Maureen. Thank you. Words are very powerful, and the music is one we use for soaking, so had me off straight away. takes me back to the film The Passion of the Christ, which I watched, which wrecked me, totally wrecked me. Okay, so we're talking about a series about Ephesians. So Susan, 2 weeks ago, was talking about putting off the old self. Having a new attitude of your mind. So loving and embracing a new life. So, and that we're created in God for true righteousness. So this week we're looking at a God-fashioned life. A life renewed from the inside out to reproduce God's and Christ's character. Okay, so being a Christian, we're a child of God. So when you become a Christian, there's three R's really. Realise the lack and there's a separation between you and God. Repent, which is turn round and face God, say you're sorry, receive his forgiveness. And receive is the last one. So Jesus, receive Jesus as his Saviour and the Holy Spirit and understand God as your real Father. So that's becoming a Christian. So understanding your new identity in Christ as you were designed to be, as he created you to be. So for me, I became a Christian when I was 17. A long time ago, about 30 years. Anyway, so I see myself now as Frank version 2.0. So the old Frank died when I became a Christian, and I became version 2.0. I had an upgrade and still installed a new operating system. And then I installed upgrades to that: Holy Spirit, compassion, love, power, forgiveness, adoption. So, let's go through some of these verses. And Christine prayed that we'd all be distressed today, so... Disturbed. And distressed. So, verse 25... stop, Rachel, can you help tilt this a bit? Stop lying. Yeah, that's good. So, verse 25, it says, therefore each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbour, for all members of the body, one body. So, are you lying at some part in your life? Are you lying to yourself or are you lying to others? We, a Christian, are called to be honest with each other And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Are you saying I'm okay? But actually you're not, really. Deep down you're not. And I do that sometimes. Are you leading two lives? Are you saying one thing and doing another outside these doors? We're family. We're here to help each other. So if you do have issues, please talk to us and we'll help you. So yeah, you can see there, the two-faced ones. Quite a powerful image. Okay. Now, verse 26 is about controlling anger. Now, I've got the expert of this area going to come and just have a few words. So, Rachel.
That's not me. Just one of my favourite subjects that Frank asked me to do a little, really little mini bit. What is anger? Anger is an emotion we're all born with. I'm sure you've experienced it at some point. Ephesians 4:26 instructs us, in your anger, do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on our anger. So there are many scriptures about anger, just a couple here. James 1:19, everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Proverbs 15:18, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but the slow to anger calms a dispute. So notice in these scriptures, they don't say don't be angry, they say be slow to anger. There are scriptures that tell us to get rid of anger. Colossians 3:8, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. So as we know, Jesus got angry at times. One obvious example was when Jesus cleared the temple of the money changers and animal sellers. He showed great emotion and anger. If you don't know the story, he went and pushed all over all the tables in the temple. Jesus' emotion was described as zeal for God's house. His anger was pure and completely justified because at its root, his concern was for God's holiness and worship. Because these were at stake, Jesus took quick and decisive action. So just a few points from that about anger. Jesus, in this example, was angry for the right reason. His anger had the proper focus. He was not angry at God, and he wasn't angry at the weakness of others. His anger targeted sinful behaviour and true injustice. His anger had the proper control. Jesus was never out of control, even in his wrath. He controlled his emotions. His emotions did not control him. His anger had the proper duration. He did not allow his anger to linger. He didn't allow it to turn into bitterness, and he didn't hold grudges. Last point is his anger had the proper result. Jesus' anger had the consequence of godly action. So to summarise, we need to listen to the Bible's warnings about being slow to anger. We also need to learn how to express our anger in a healthy way. Anger used correctly can be productive for change. So for example, there's been times when certain politics or something, or some laws, or something that's come into effect, has made me really angry, and I've gone and written to my MP. It doesn't happen very often, but you know, you can actually use it to do something. Whether that makes change or not, you've done something with your anger, and a well thought through letter, not written out, you know, outside and, you know, with lost control, but controlled and thought through and read through, and yeah, that sounds like a good letter. I'm going to send that. So that can help. We can express our anger without harming or offending others, but it does take a lot of work and practice, and I'm not the expert. I believe where Jesus is teaching us to get rid of anger, he's talking about not letting things fester inside us or doing harm to others. Anger that takes root turns to bitterness, and it can cause deep emotional harm to ourselves and others. And it's also very bad for our physical health. So just to end, Proverbs 13:30 says, a peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. Jesus felt angry at times, so it's okay for us to feel angry, but it's what we do with it that matters.
Yeah, I felt the wrath of an angry wife. Who put that dirty dish on the side and not in the dishwasher? Oh, yeah. She won't believe it's the dog. But okay. Robin, now, verse 28. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer. Must work and do something useful with their own hands. And they may have something to share with those in need. So, robbing. How about robbing? Do you have anyone here an issue with robbing? And you might think, I don't steal things. But what about time? Do you rob time from others? Do you rob time from yourself? Do you rob time from God? It says in the Bible, for seeking God in 1 Chronicles 16, verse 11, seek his face continually. And as an outward reward from that, in Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says, he will reward you. He will reward people who seek him. What about joy? Do you rob other people's joy? If someone is celebrating, do you pour water on the fire sometimes? If someone receives healing, do you say, it was just time for it to heal. That may not have been God. That's a challenge for us. Do you rob finances? Do you rob God? Do you not give as he's asked you to give? Wasting time is robbing oneself. That's a challenge. How much time do you spend wastefully? How much time do you spend usefully for God? I heard a sermon the other day talking about how much time you spend with God. And I did some calculations versus if you just came to church and you did nothing else versus something else you might do in the week. And it's quite shocking, actually, how much time you give to God. So encouraged to give time to God because he rewards. There's no reward for looking at Facebook all day. I don't think, in my opinion. Okay, verse 29. This is a good one. This is a big one that we've been focusing on here a lot lately, which is helpful, not harmful words. In verse 29 it says, do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful, building up others according to their needs, that may benefit those who listen. Speak helpful, not harmful. So, for example, the tunnel last week, a couple of weeks back in Pentecost, we spoke words over each other, and it encourages. So, Maureen, you're created by, loved by God. John, you're special in his eyes. Gina, you're created and you're loved. You know, he knows you, he knitted you together when you were born. It's, you know, we should all speak more freely. You know, let's moan less and speak more blessings over people. You know, it's really important. Words are powerful. Yeah. Bad words tear down, discourage, criticize. Remember when you were a child, did your father or mother speak bad words over you? How much does that stay with you? You know, that's difficult. We need to be doused, soaked with God's love and words over us, because he has so much for us that it will just blow the rest away. And how about your words when you go outside this place, when you're at work? Do you use the same language that you use in here? Or do you blend in with the surroundings and speak bad stuff like others do? Like in a tough work environment where everyone is swearing, do you join in with that? Or do you stand up and be a Christian and don't be part of that? We're called to represent God wherever we go. So it's not just in this building. As soon as we go out those doors, we're a representative of God. So we need to live for him, represent him. Each word you speak is a gift. Words energize and empower. Let's practice that and take that into the world. There were some good examples from Joy and she went through the tunnel and people really blessed her. And those words have made a difference in your week, right, as well. So, you know, these kind of words, they can be spoken over and they can be brought back to you at any time. That's the role of the Holy Spirit. He brings things back to your memory. So you know, when you're reading the words, it's really good, the Bible, because he'll bring that back to your memory later when you need it. So, yeah, good. Okay, verse 30 is about the Holy Spirit. So I've got some slides on that, and I realise this is in the wrong order, so I'm going to come back to that later. So I'm just going to go back to that. So, verse 31, kicking out bitterness. Getting rid of all bitterness, rage and anger. What are you bitter about? Are you bitter with God? Are you hurt? Do you envy other people? Do you envy their physical side? Or their spiritual side even sometimes? They're getting all the blessing. Why aren't I getting it? How can they run when I've got to hobble along? It says in 1 John 2, verse 9, if anyone claims to be in the light and hates his brother, he's still in the darkness. So kick out bitterness. Sorry, that was the wrong slide. That was the bitterness one. Kick out bitterness. Right. Forgiveness. This is tough going today. Thank you, Christine. Ephesians 4, verse 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. Are you holding any unforgiveness in your heart? This is a real blocker for God to bless you, just as some of the other ones are, or all the other ones are. Can you forgive others that hurt you? Others may have said a bad word or done something. Do you have an open wound somewhere in you and you keep picking at it? It's not healing. You can acknowledge it's there, but you don't want to deal with it. You're happy with it just to stay there and just to pick at it. I encourage you to receive healing for that. Have you accepted Christ's forgiveness? There's one thing forgiving others. What about forgiving yourself? This is something I've really struggled with in the past. When I went away from God, I spent a long time not being able to forgive myself until I realised how much God still loved me and I was able to receive that. How long does it take you to forgive? There's a saying, to forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was actually you. To forgive is to set a prisoner free and to discover that the prisoner was you. Jesus said, forgive others as God forgives you. That's a powerful command and we need to do it. We need to have outrageous grace like God does, and Jesus did. Okay, now I'm going to step back. So, all those things that we spoke about there kind of come together and they can also affect you. And then in verse 30, it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit from whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. What does grieve mean? What means if you grieve?
Upset.
Yeah, anything else?
Make sad.
Yes, very good. So, we can make, did anyone know that? We can make the Holy Spirit sad? In the message, I like this translation, actually, as well. Don't grieve God. Don't break his heart. His Holy Spirit, moving and breathing in you, is the most intimate part of your life, making you fit for himself. Do not take such a gift for granted. The most intimate part of your life. Amazing. The Holy Spirit is the seal on Christians, which is like the example there. The Holy Spirit is God's seal on his people. His claim. It's his claim, right, that you're his. And he's sealed with the Holy Spirit in you. But we can also quench the Holy Spirit. What does quench mean? Anyone have an idea?
Squash.
Squash. Yeah. Any other words?
Put out.
Put out. Yeah. Anyone else? Sorry?
Put down.
Yeah, that's right. So I've got here, hinder, restrict, neglect, despise, shutting down, resisting. All of this is opposite to fanning the flame of the Holy Spirit as a fire in our life, which we should be asking for more of, receiving more of. But we can also do the opposite, and we can push him out and say, nah, I don't want to know. I've done that, and I felt that. And how do I know it's different? We'll go through. How do you feel when you do that? We'll go through that in a minute. It's almost like having a candle burning and then snuffing it out. You know, when you blow it out and there's still smoke, and then you snuff it out to completely. That's a good explanation of it. Putting out a fire. Do not quench the Spirit. Oh yeah, in 1 Thessalonians it says, do not quench the Spirit. So in Ephesians we said, it says, do not grieve the Spirit. And in 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, do not quench the Spirit. Now I think we quench the Spirit by grieving the Spirit. I know we're actually, you know, yeah. What cause, so by grieving, we actually cause him pain. By quenching, we resist him and put him to one side. Make him sad. Okay, so what things can cause this? So when you do quench the Holy Spirit, you dry up. So anyone experience this? I know I have. And that means you can feel spiritually dry. What does that mean? How does that mean if you try to explain that to someone? Anyone?
Hopeless.
Hopeless?
Yeah. Because you go away if you've got no spirit, you know, you feel a bit down. And
you feel, yeah, you feel down. Yeah, I felt down when.
Yeah, and you feel like you don't want to.
Yes.
Find his word, you know, and if you don't ignore him,
yeah.
You can feel it.
Yes. Anything else? Anyone else ever been dry? Was it just me?
Disconnected.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, disconnected.
Don't feel loved.
Yes. Holy Spirit is a life-giving water. But we can end up a shriveled believer sometimes, lacking that water. What happens to plants if you don't give them water, John? Die. Shrivel up and die. It's a process, right?
Like
I don't
know. So
we need the rain of the Holy Spirit.
We do. We need the rain of the Holy Spirit. Very good morning. Thank you. That's number one. Number two, you get bound. You can get bound up. What does this mean? So, from my experience on this, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit and letting him flow, you can be bound up with other things. You can be ensnared by other things which can catch hold of you in the flesh and do that instead. Opposite to God, you can go away from God.
The wrong way.
And yeah. So people with them, talk to Romans about people with having a fleshly mind who go a different way, but God calls you to go his way. Living your own way. Flesh way is death, spirit way is life. It's very plain, right? But how comes we often go that way? We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit to keep on track. So we get bound up. You can get distant. You can have a fantastic relationship with God and be really going on. But over time, you can get distant. You can be out there and you can say, God, where are you? I can't feel you. I can't sense you anymore. Anyone ever been like that?
Yes.
You may be like that now. I don't know. But that's something we can resolve.
There's a lovely quote, Frank. If you're not as close to God
as you once were,
yeah.
Don't be mistaken about who's moved.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, God doesn't move, we move.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can be distant. When we're distant, we start making our own decisions. God feels far away. And we're saying, often, where is God? Another one as well, you wander aimlessly around, right? So as you feel distant, you wander around, not quite sure what to do, where to go. Look for other things. What can give me satisfaction? Nothing, actually, compared to what God... We can try and reach into things and receive satisfaction from things, but they don't give you what you need, because in everyone's being, I believe, is a God-shaped hole. If you don't fill that with God's presence and power, nothing else will fill it. You can try, but they're empty at the end of the day. And then you end up going back to the first one, you'd be bound up. So we wander. Number five, you get fruitless. How would we explain that one? Well, what does that mean by get fruitless?
No love or joy or peace.
No love or joy or peace. So with the Holy Spirit, there's the fruits of the Holy Spirit, right? We start bearing no fruit.
We drop out.
Which, which ties in with the drying up as well, right?
Yeah.
We don't demonstrate the fruits of the Spirit, which are love, joy, peace, faithfulness, self-control, very good, pass the test. So that, we get fruitless. We get fruitless. I think other people will notice that as well, right? If we are not showing those sides of our relationship with God. And the last one here I put is you get empty. You feel empty. What does that feel like?
Not nice at all.
Nah. Anyone ever felt like that?
Yes, I have.
But you all know it's very easy to get back to the full, because God wants to fill us. Actually, not to the full. There's not even a gauge on his, it would just be continuously flying that way. We need to continually fill with the Holy Spirit. So much more in God. Where I am at the moment is I really desire more of God. And it's been a word in this church for a while. And it's something I'm going after. And I have a real desire for it. And when I've tasted God's presence, and what it's like to be close to him, and I want more. So that's what I'm going after personally. So you've got all these things. How to fix it? And I'm going back to this slide. How to fix it is easy, actually. Some things you need to stop doing what you're doing. So some things in your life which are you doing, you need to stop doing. And other things in your life you need to start doing. So stop doing, you may have a habit, or you may be doing things which are displeasing to God. And start doing is you may need to spend more time with him and get to know him, and to turn around and say, actually, sorry, God, and to receive his forgiveness, which he will always forgive every time that you come. Doesn't mean that we should continually go after having a bad time and going for forgiveness. But he does have outrageous grace where he will forgive. I've experienced that very deeply myself. So, and the last verse for this area is this one, when he calls us in verse Ephesians 5, 1-2. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. What's that like to be Christ-like? Anyone like to say? What does it mean to be Christ-like?
Think the way he thinks and do the things he does.
Yes, Joy. Think the way he thinks and do the things he does. I loved that picture on the left. That really spoke to me of the man hugging Jesus, which is what I encourage us all to do as our Saviour. And look at the picture on the right. How about looking in the mirror and seeing Jesus looking back? That's a challenge to us. Learn about our Saviour. Receive His Holy Spirit. The Saviour is not in this world now in person. He's up in heaven. But the Holy Spirit is here to be with us and to help us. One big role of the Holy Spirit is to help us love God. And to facilitate that. And I get really upset when I see churches which ignore the Holy Spirit. Think, my goodness, you're missing so much. So in this church, we firmly believe in the Holy Spirit, and we're pushing in to His presence to know Him more, to know God more, and Jesus as our Saviour. And that's where we'll see transformations, I firmly believe. Jesus' greatest command was love God and love others as yourself. We all want to have a God fragrance to take out of this place into the world. So wherever you go, whenever you leave these doors, you carry that fragrance with you. In the morning you wake up and you say, good morning, Holy Spirit, morning God, Jesus your Saviour, and then take those guys with you in your day, and that's your fragrance. So, no matter how far you've gone, there's always one step back. Just like Maureen says, you could have stepped away miles, millions of miles, in fact, but it's only one step back to God. You could be walking away from God, but He's there. And all it requires is a turning around and saying, I'm sorry, and He's there. Exactly as that last picture. To hold you and to forgive you. So, as a quick response before we move on. So, no matter how far you've gone away, there's one step back. You being in love with Jesus is living in victory. There's an invitation for you to step closer into that relationship with Jesus today. See God moving in your life. We believe Jesus is alive. We believe He's the only way to the Father. And when we say yes to Jesus as Lord and Saviour, we gain access to that Father. Well, we'll be talking about the Father in a couple of weeks on Father's Day. Anything can happen when you're a Christian. It's exciting. Have you said yes to Jesus being the most important person in your life? Maybe you've been to church 1,000 times and heard about Him, know about Him, but not received Him in your heart. There's a big difference. And then after that, you can have the intimacy of the Holy Spirit, which you may have never felt before. A touch of God will totally change your life, and He wants to move supernaturally. So just for a moment, shut your eyes in a private place. So close your eyes and just ponder that for a moment. And if you've never said yes to Jesus as Saviour, Jesus wants you in that family. You might not be sure, but He's really desiring a relationship with you. So I just want to give an opportunity. If any of this has spoke to you, and you want to receive Jesus as Saviour, then just in the quietness, with everyone's eyes shut, just raise your hand or kind of indicate somehow, catch my eye, do something just to say, that's me. And then afterwards we can pray and we'll celebrate, because that's a fantastic day. The angels celebrate in heaven when just one person comes to God. So is there anyone here today? Amen. See that hands? Thank you. Praise God. Thank you. You can put your hands down. So after the service, if you guys can come up the front, we'll pray with you to receive the Holy Spirit. and to receive Jesus as Saviour. Okay, so now we're going to move into a time of communion. And through that, if you're not feeling right with God, take the opportunity to say a prayer as you come forward. And then that will be, actually, we'll do a song first, right?